This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Mikolaj Strawinski, and I'm really looking forward to catching up with you again. It's so great to talk again.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be a part of this, and thanks for reaching out.
Oh, hey, for sure. I'm just absolutely charmed by your soundtrack for Bee Simulator. It's such a cool idea for a game, and I love seeing the world through a bee's eyes. So what were your first thoughts when the developers at Varsav reached out to you with this idea for a game?
Whenever a developer approaches me, I really don't have much to say except thank you, I'm flattered. But until I actually see how the game looks and how the game works, I really have no opinion on that. Luckily, Bee Simulator looks gorgeous to me, and the notion of flight is very inviting. It's what I call a very inviting canvas to musically paint on. So when I saw this game, I was like, yes, this is something I really want to do.
Yeah, how far into development was the game? How much did Lukasz, the game's creator, have to show you to get you excited about it?
I think there were some screenshots that were looking pretty good. I don't think in terms of the actual gameplay and there was much, but as the weeks passed, it started to shape up and looking really, really nicely. So actually, this is a kind of a rule. Very often when a developer reaches out, it's mostly about screenshots that I have a reference. The gameplay comes later.
Well, I love that the story of the game, you play as a bee from the time you're born in the hive, and you kind of find your way around the hive and do all of that stuff. And then the queen gives you missions, and you've got to save the hive from predators and from development. And I love that the story was inspired by a story that Lukasz read with his daughter, who was only 4. So right off the bat, it just has such a charming feel to it. And so how much
charming potential.
Yeah, definitely. And so as you were thinking about developing the sound, what was sort of the process? Because I love the end result. It just sounds light and airy and not exactly bee-sized, but it doesn't overwhelm the bees for sure. How much experimentation, or what was your process to get to this really wonderful orchestration that you eventually settled on?
Sure. There wasn't much experimentation. Well, I started writing, without the orchestration. The orchestration was kind of given because the game has a light color to it, and it's for children, and it's about bees and flowers, and the world is so beautiful. So I knew there's gonna, like, that was actually an exciting part for me. I knew that I'm gonna be writing for woodwinds.
Oh.
And woodwinds, yeah, woodwinds and strings. That's basically what this soundtrack is all about, and some harp and some piano here and there. I knew that I would have to activate the mid-range and mid-high range to high range of the orchestra. So that's you can be very active in this register and make music very interesting because of that. So that was exciting. As far as experimentation, I remember I started the whole process with the main piece. It's called, eventually it's got the name, right above the honey park, because it gives you an overall feel of the game, of how the flight feels, of what the world looks like. So I started writing to it, and I came up with something. I spent hours coming up with something that ended up not working at all. and then I had to change my harmonic approach to it, and then keep it a little bit more modal. But not, hopefully not too modal. And it worked out.
Thank you.
As far as instrumentation, I wouldn't say there was a rule to it. It just came to me, and you know, the piece without orchestration, the piano piece itself was very self-explanatory as far as what the orchestration will be like. So and then it's at some point came to me that, hey, this is you know, there are some things in the orchestral vocabulary that echo the B world, like the tremolo strings or right, this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. or the flutter on the woodwinds, the flutes mainly. So you know, I love those colors, and it was just a perfect place to utilize them.
Yeah, and they fit the gameplay, and as you're flying around, as they sound like wings, like a lot of little wings,
right? Yeah. With like pitched wings.
Yeah. So the game is set in Central Park, which has a lot of different environments. That there's a zoo for animals and obviously people too. And so I'm wondering how much influence that setting had on your music.
It did a little bit. When I looked at these skyscrapers in the background, I immediately, my fingers started playing jazz harmonies. I'm not going to say Gershwin, but maybe. You know, I have to be cautious about it, what I'm about to say, but definitely jazz. You know, I used to play jazz piano quite a lot. I was educated in jazz, so it was a nice opportunity to sort of, you know, introduce some of these harmonies, some of this approach to the soundtrack, and hopefully blend it with everything else that's going on. And I have to say, what a great city New York has to be, that jazz is one of the first thing that one associated with. I really wish more cities had that kind of musical association, but sadly New York is pretty much the only one.
Yeah. Well, it's got such a long history and such a track record of great musicians there. And so that's really cool. And I can hear that in the music too.
Thanks. Yeah.
It's been so much fun to hear this lyrical side of you as a composer, because the two other things that we've talked about are just so different. The music that you wrote for the Witcher-inspired card game Gwent, and then Sniper Ghost Warrior 3. So, I don't know, was it as much fun to write this in that really different voice as it sounds?
I really hope that the listeners of the soundtrack or the video game players can feel that I had uttermost joy writing this soundtrack. It was wonderful project. And you know, you said that about the game, how it came to be. You know, this positive energy, really, where this is what the game started with, and it just, it was there from the beginning till the end. I mean, each time even I visited the studio, the energy over there was so positive always. I could never feel the stress. It was probably there, obviously, but I could never feel it. Everybody was very positive, and you know, it was there always. And even I was outside. Obviously, I just visited the studio a couple of times, but I was in my studio writing this music, and I was always happy. I was always, you know, very excited for the project and never stressed, and forever grateful that Łukasz Roszyński decided to record live orchestra for the project.
Yeah, let's talk about the orchestra, because they are phenomenal. Oh my goodness. Is this an orchestra that you've worked with before?
No, the orchestra was very experimental because it was Warsaw Game Studios' idea that they should hire young players because the game is targeted for children. So, you know, let's hire orchestra players as close to children as possible. So, you know, obviously they're not children, but they are early 20 years old, mostly. So, yeah, it was a part of the orchestra came from the Heroes Orchestra. It's the orchestra that specializes in playing video game music in live concerts. And, you know, whomever, there were some people who just couldn't make it. And, you know, they were substituted with just, you know, free musical atoms, you know, flying around Warsaw. So this is how we got it. And, you know, and they played very well. And I'm really happy with the outcome. One interesting thing was that there were two orchestral sessions. I thought I was done with the game at the beginning of September 2018. And then all of a sudden, you know, I started getting these emails from Warsaw. Hey, Mikolaj, we have, one more thing we need you to score. And can you do this? And I was like, sure. Hey, Mikolaj, you know, there's one more thing that we need you to score. And you know, we have some cutscenes that came out recently that, you know, also turns out need music. And, you know, lo and behold, we needed to expand the soundtrack 100%. That's how things are sometimes. So the first orchestral session, as I said, was towards the end of August 2018. And then second half was recorded early May 2019.
Wow. So was it hard to mesh the two together?
I think the miking was slightly different, but I don't think anybody can tell the difference. The people were mostly the same. You know, it sounds pretty cohesive. I don't think anybody can tell the difference. Obviously, wonderful work at the end of all this was done by a very special person, Steve Kamster. He's a sound engineer in Los Angeles who did a phenomenal job mixing the orchestra. So I'm really grateful for his work on that.
Yeah, the way the orchestra sounds is just beautiful. And I didn't realize that it was such a young orchestra. And so I wonder if playing game music in an orchestral setting like this young orchestra did, I wonder if they approach it differently from, like a Mozart symphony or any other, you know, sort of classical work that they would play.
From what I know, it's very refreshing for orchestral player to play this kind of music. They play a lot of, like you said, art, literature, symphonic literature, and pieces from symphonic literature. So, you know, this is kind of unexpected and new to them. So I think it's important to surprise players, right?
Yeah.
So that they're not bored. And I think they enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, that joy really comes through. And especially, I know Lukasz did a lot of research into bees, how bee society works, and their culture, how they exist, including how they dance to communicate. And you've got such a wonderful, wonderful cue called the Bee Bee Dance. And I just, I love the way it sounds. It's like a little cha-cha.
Yeah. So
that one is fantastic.
Thanks.
So did you have to make that one loop so that, because in the game, it's a kind of a memory game as you're dancing with this other bee. So
yeah. So I'm not sure. Maybe it's a cha-cha. Maybe it's a tango. It's somewhere there. I thought I was aiming more towards the tango, because tango is like, on one hand, it's probably the most romantic dance there is. So right, it kind of works here. But you can score humorous scenes with the tango as well. So it, you know, it has this twofold way of working on the scene. I'm glad you like it, and it does loop.
I'm so curious about the process of writing the individual cues, because I don't imagine you start off just writing a stem. And in the soundtrack, each one of these tracks has a beautiful arc to it, a beginning and a middle and an end. Mm. So is that how you approach composing them in the first place?
Well, there isn't much stemming. And as far as the interactive part, there isn't too much of it, although there is some. Naturally, yes, the every piece has its starts, which is a separate part that was merged into the whole piece for the sake of the soundtrack. But then obviously the looping part doesn't include the beginning, right, of the piece, because it wouldn't make sense.
Right.
And then there's a looping part. The looping pieces, there are some challenges about it. Not only the end of the piece has to match the beginning, but also you have to be creative and careful about the alleys and peaks of the piece, right? Because on one, you can't make them too big, because it might suggest the player that something is happening in the gameplay where it's not. But it's good to include some of them, just so that, you know, there is some dynamics in the piece, that just so that it's not at the same level all the time. So I'm always conscious about it, and I'm always trying to hit it, you know, to find a golden center of it so that it works. Some pieces on the soundtrack, many of them, in fact, were written to cutscenes, right? So it was the picture that was dictating the narrative of the piece. Like, for instance, When the Winter Pays the Visit.
Yes, I love that piece, because it actually sounds chilly with the instrumentation.
We're supposed to.
Thank you. there's an emotional content to the game too, because the hive is really at risk from the environment and from predators, developers, all kinds of things. And so that must have given you a lot of ideas to an emotional inspiration for the music.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the music has to pull out those emotions from the game and add emotions and the emotion. Let's be honest, emotions are very, very important. That is also why the soundtrack was exciting for me to write, because the emotions were there even without the music, and the music just, you know, hopefully made them even stronger. And there are different kinds of emotions in the game. There is sadness, there is fear, there is joy, there is excitement. Yeah, many.
It's a really sophisticated game, considering that Lucas, he intended it for kids, but also kind of hoping that the kids would play it with their parents. So there's a lot going on there.
Yes.
And I'm really curious about the track Webbed, because I love the kind of metronomic ticking in it, and it sounds like spider webs. And so what's the context for that track?
Yeah. What do you think about the title?
Well, obviously, it reminds me of spiders. I mean,
yeah, it's just weird when a Polish person comes up with English titles sometimes. So it's written for the situations when a player gets caught in a spider web and the spider approaches in a circular sort of a route towards the center. And the clock is ticking. The track's tempo is twice as fast. So it is supposed to merge the idea of time passing, the clock ticking towards, you know, let's be honest, a death of a bee, and then there are some string effects that, you know, that sort of were supposed to reflect this spider just diving down on the string of web.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know if you can hear it.
And as someone who's like not completely arachnophobic, but spiders really creep me out. So
they do, right? I don't know what it is. Is it the amount of legs or the amount of eyes, something, or is it the movies that we've seen about them that are? I totally understand that one can be creeped out by spiders.
It's all of the above, really, I think. actually, there is combat in the game too, because the bees have predators. There are wasps and hornets, and you must have had a lot of fun writing the combat music for that too.
I hope you can sense my hatred towards the hornets. I really despise those. Really, I mean, I am really afraid of hornets. And so the idea behind the hornet fights and the wasp fights was the stinging. It's very, it's supposed to sound unpleasant, but it's also, it's very sort of punctuating, right? The music is punctuating the player, so to speak. So it was about finding this right space in those accents so that on one hand, it feels like stinging, but on the other hand, just help doesn't throw off the player from the gameplay, right? Because if something is very irregular, if the music is very irregular and sort of scattered, it can throw off the player from the gameplay. That's what I was aiming for.
Those stings are just so sharp, and you know, poor little bees, they can't sting back or they're gonna die.
I really have to point out that sometimes when I'm scoring projects of a different kind, I can't retain from emotion that I have my personal emotion for certain elements in the media, and in this case it was a hornet. I really hate them, and I really hope that the listeners can hear this, my hatred towards those little animals. there's really no point for them to exist, in my opinion. I mean, there's probably a point, I don't know, to make human lives less pleasant, maybe. But no, I hate them really, really much.
They are just mean. They're just...
Right?
Yeah, they are. We have them around here, around our house. We'll have them sometimes, and it's like, just leave. Just get out of here. Where's the raid?
what's the point of them? Like, if you have an animal that is so venomous, it's venomous in order to kill quickly, but they stink human, and they must know that they won't kill us, right? And let alone eat us afterwards. So what's the point?
Exactly. Well, I love how much research Lukasz did into the lives of bees and the risks that they face. And as you were working on the game and learning more about it, did you learn anything about bees that you didn't know before?
I have to disappoint you. When I was writing the music, I didn't have much access to those additional informations that are educating people about the life of bees. So I skipped that part.
Well, maybe that's best, because then it would be...
I'm as dumb as I was before.
Well, you've talked about, you know, the joy that you felt when you would see builds of the game and talking with the developers and the orchestra. But is there anything else that really stands out that made this project really special for you?
Yes. Yes, there is something that I would love to add. I think that a lot of music for children these days is just written without much consideration of children. And let me explain that. The music is very simple. People, when they communicate with children, they treat them like they don't think or they have no taste, right? And when I was a kid, I remember, do you remember Smurfs?
Oh, yes.
the original Smurfs, I don't know if it was from the 70s or 80s. I still remember my first Smurf episode that I watched when I was, I don't know, five or something about that. And there was great music in that. The original Smurfs utilized the music of Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition. There was a Schubert's Unfinished Symphony, and there was The Mourning from the Peregrine Suite by Grieg. So, you know, serious literature, music, working for a cartoon. And I really remember this music, and it got me excited and really made me remember the series for a long time because of that, despite the fact that I was so young. And I don't want to say that I'm comparing the music for the Bee Simulator to those amazing pieces of music, but what I want to say is that I, you know, my approach was to write something maybe a little bit more sophisticated for children, despite the fact that they're children, right? And still hopefully make it work.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I was thinking about that too, because yeah, kids can handle really sophisticated music. I was thinking about Peter and the Wolf. And
exactly.
Yeah. That amazing writing. And Prokofiev didn't have to write all those complex themes and what's going on underneath. But he did, because he knew kids could handle it and they'd appreciate it. And that's just so cool. That's a really neat thing to know about this, that you really were treating kids.
Yeah, and it goes, we can step out from the music subject for a little bit. It's like having children and communicating to them ga-ga-goo-goo all the time, right? It's really, really, I think we can do better.
Yeah.
We can communicate more sophisticated messages to them and they'll be all right. They'll
yes.
get it.
Yeah. And if they don't, they'll come back
and research it.
Right.
So I would like the music to take this turn. Right.
It really does. It's just it's so beautiful to listen to, and there's so many different styles and the feel of it. It's just it's really wonderful.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Well, Mikolaj, it's been so much fun to talk with you again. And again, thank you so much for your time. And it's been great to look under the hood at the whole process of how you made the music.
I love talking with you, Kate. And it's, as always, it's been a wonderful experience and a big pleasure. Thank you for reaching out and speaking to me.